Blog Talk Radio.
We know what we've done to you. And we know what over 500 years we've put in your head. And we know how to utilize that. And we know how to take advantage of that. And we know how to take advantage of that.
And we know how to take advantage of that.
Christianity has been misused for hundreds of years to keep your people in subjugation. And I'm speaking now a reality that the history books do not record, but history does. Christianity was used because if I said, okay, you don't believe the way I believe, and Christianity is the best way to believe, so I'm going to take you, and it's going to be for your own good, honey. I'm going to take you, and I'm going to tear away everything about you and just keep your hands and your feet because they can help me. But I'm going to do this for your own good because I'm going to give you a God. Christianity has been misused for hundreds of years to keep your people in subjugation. And I'm speaking now a reality that the history books do not record, but history does. Christianity was used because if I said, okay, you don't believe the way I believe, and Christianity is the best way to believe, so I'm going to take you, and it's going to be for your own good, honey. It's going to be for your own good. I'm going to take you, and I'm going to tear away everything about you and just keep your hands and your feet because they can help me. I'm getting off. But I'm going to do this for your own good because I'm going to give you a God. Now, what does that God look like? The reality of it is when he came here, he didn't look like me. So what am I going to do about that? I'm going to make him look like me. So now I'm going to give you a God, but I'm going to do that in a way that is going to further me. So I'm going to give you a God that looks like me, so that when you bow down to that God, you're bound down to me. See, so that we've done that. We've given your people a God that looks like me, so that you don't have any qualm about bowing down to me. See, because this is the image of God. I don't know of any sin that we've committed that's greater than that one. And we did it with the Bible in our hands when we were beating your ancestors for looking at us eye to eye. And we're quoting to them from this scripture. Even if we allowed them to have their own ministers, which there wasn't many of because we didn't allow them to read. But if we said, okay, you can have your church. This is my plantation. I'm going to do what I want with it. You can have your church. But then spies were sent. And those spies would stand outside the church, and that man would be beaten, perhaps killed, if he preached anything other than three sermons. And those three sermons were turn the other cheek, obey your master, and it's going to get better one of these days. God's going to take care of all of it. You're going to be in a happy, happy land. So put up with what you're putting up with now. We know what we've done to you. And we know what over 500 years we've put in your head. And we know how to utilize that. And we know how to take advantage of that. And we know how to take advantage of that.
And we know how to take advantage of that.
And we made your people preach that to your people. And it's still being done. It's still being done.
All right. I was thinking there was a song behind that, family, but there's not. Hey, shalom, 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 and welcome back. Welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister, as well as your host and teacher, Georgia Johnson. Family, today is the 2nd of June, 2012. We're going to continue with the series. This is number 4, The Bible in the Beginning. Now, we've been going over this series, and it's speaking of a 1966 so-called religious film. It's supposed to be a biblical film, and John Huston was directing it in 1966. Family, we've been going through it and finding out that there's many things that are inaccurate. And anytime you try to put a movie and put it as nonfiction and put it up and the people are learning from this piece of information, and as you view it and you read your Bible and see there's so many inconsistencies, we have to ask ourselves, why did they do that? Why did they put so many inconsistencies, leave out so many very, very important verses? Why was all this done? Well, we're going to go into more information and breaking some of the scripture down and telling you exactly what was done. Many of us, we do not read, it is the truth, we don't read the Bible. We listen to someone speak. But when we go into the scriptures and understand what was done in the book of Judges, chapter 2, where our father says, I'm leaving these nations here, they're going to be trying you guys. Okay, I'm going to see if you will hearken to me or hearken to them. Hearken to them and their deities. So a lot of things that were put inside this particular movie was done by a lot of people who do not believe that our Father Yahuwah is going to reign in the end. They don't believe that. They've been trying to take away his people from off the face of the earth. We can get all this understanding just by reading the scriptures. If you want to allow scripture to speak instead of letting the interpretation of a man speak the Father's word. This particular man, in the case of the Bible, happens to be Edom. And for all it is worth, it's the truth. You know, and Edom is your so-called white man. So I know it seems like we pick on the so-called white man so much, but in all reality, go figure why there's a book like Obadiah, and we hear about him in the book of Joel, and we go throughout the scriptures, and I mean, they're everywhere that the Father has judgment to put on this nation of people, because so much was done to his holy people. Okay, they went above and beyond. Okay, they were supposed to chastise us, but just like the Father says that he was going to do unto us as he would have done unto them, all we were doing when we had them as our bondsmen and bondswomen, when we were the head and they were the tails, we were fair to them. There was righteous laws in place. But that didn't happen when we came into subjugation and we became the foot, the tail. So we're going to see some more of the treachery that has been done and has been keeping our people destroyed as a nation. Because the Father is waking his children of family, we are able to see past a lot of the lies. And unfortunately, like the woman said, they've done such a good job to where it almost makes it impossible to bring forth any biblical sound doctrine with precepts. Our people are still saying, no, no, that's not true. That's a lie. So, family, we have to go through this material. And I have a lot of new material that I'm going to be bringing forward today as well. But nonetheless, I got my scriptures to back it up. And I just want to, you know, welcome everybody to the show today because, you know, this is a Bible lesson. This is to give you understanding, not only dispel their lies, but also to give you scriptural sound doctrine, precepts, and get the understanding of what the Bible's truly speaking of. So what I want to do today, family, I want to welcome everybody first. I'm going to check out my chat line real quick. Okay, great. Shalom, everyone. Shalom. I'm going to go ahead and start the first MP3 because I have about, I think I have like, I don't know, 5 or 6 MP3s to play. And I want to make sure that I get them all lined up. Just so you guys know, today we're going to show you why when Edom produced this particular hybrid hiding so-called biblical movie called The Bible in the Beginning, they had to pervert the scriptures. They had to omit significant chapters and verses in order to conceal their identity and to destroy Yahuwah's people, family. This is what it's all about. When they talk about this new world order, this old world order, this new Atlantis, old Atlantis, I mean, it's all the same. It's just repackaged because there's nothing new underneath the sun. We're just going to see how it is now since we're still under chastisement. And many of our people, they're still in an ignorant state where they can't receive the truth. Whether it be that the Father, maybe their eyes are going to stay closed, I don't know. But one thing I do know is as his children, we are supposed to proclaim the truth. And if their eyes are meant to be opened, they will receive the truth of the word as long as it is by Yahuwah's word and not mine. So I'm going to go back to a clip that I played for you guys yesterday. This was my number 4 clip, and it's going to be getting into Nimrod, the Tower of Babel, and leading into Abraham. Okay, I'm going to play that for you guys, and then we're going to go over that information, okay, so that you guys can see. If you have your Bibles and you want to go ahead and open those up, I think we're at 9. We're going to pick up at chapter 9 of Genesis. Okay, but you won't be able to follow along. I'll tell you ahead of time, you will not be able to follow along. It's too many jumps around, too many things omitted. So we will break this down as soon as you hear this 6-minute clip, and I'm going to get it started, family.
And sons were born unto the sons of Noah after the flood. And of them was the whole earth overspread. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and the sons of Shem, Elam, and Asham, Arphaxad, Mizraim, Aphut, and Canaan, and Cush. And Cush begat Nimrod. And Nimrod was king. And he set to build a tower that would soar like his pride, a tower that would reach unto heaven. Sang a song as they built the tower. Who can bend the bow of Nimrod, or put strength into the arrow like unto his strength? Nothing is too mighty for him to do. No power is greater than his. He hath taken the earth and made it his own. He stores up the thunder and wears the lightning. The glory of Nimrod shines beyond the sun. There is none greater than he in earth or heaven. And the Lord came down to see the tower which the children of men built. And he said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do.
My bow.
Down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.
Oh, Stand your ground. Obey me. Make good what has been brought down. Am I not Nimrod? And my voice is your commandment.
Nay, see, yet, Atayat.
What words are these?
Nay, di Atayat, so. Nay, di Atayat, so.
Babbling fool, madness is in his mouth.
Shamataka! Chakamita Vita!
Will you mock the tongue of your king? Shall the monkey gibber against me?
Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound their language and scattered them abroad upon the face of all the earth. And the Lord waited 10 generations for a man called Abram to be born. He was born in Ur of the Chaldees. And when he had come of an age, the Lord said, Get thee out of the city, and out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, with Lot, his brother's son, and Sarai, his wife, whom he loved, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten. And they journeyed like strangers on the earth. Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever.
Shall we indeed inherit this country in peace? For the Canaanites go about the land.
The understanding of God is not our understanding. And what shall be brought about and how it shall be perfected is not in our power to know. Only in the promise of what shall come can we prosper. And in that trust, have we pitched our tents.
All right, family. That was speaking of Nimrod, Babel, and Abraham. Taken out of, the excerpt that was taken out of In the Beginning, or the Bible In the Beginning, the 1966 so-called biblical movie that was hitting the widescreen and taught many of our people. Okay, many of our people looked at this film. They had their whole family surrounded around the TV screen when it hit the TV, whenever that was, I don't know, but I know I watched it, and many of the people who are not in, probably I would say the 20s on up, you know, I would say not lower than 20, they probably have watched this at home with their family as well, because our people do believe in Scripture, and we do believe that the Father is who he says he is, even if we're in a man-made religious system. Okay, so we're going to take a look at this, and we're going to see if it's actually biblical. All I did, family, from yesterday, I did play, I think I exit that out, but anyhow, yesterday, all I've been doing is going through this movie, not cutting out, you know, much of anything, but what's important is the next part, major part of the film that, you know, picks up starts with chapter 10. But what I want to do is I just want to quickly go over chapter 9. I'm going to give everybody on the chat line this link okay, because it's going to make a big difference later when I speak to you about something. Okay, here is your link, and I'm probably not going to be passing any more Bible links out. Okay, just go ahead and use that link, and you can get to all the Bible links, okay? But right there, that's chapter 9. Now, we know yesterday's show we talked a lot about Noah. We talked about how after the flood, you know, well, we talked about during the flood, before the flood, and now we're going to speak a little bit after the flood. They really don't get into a lot of detail in the movie about the covenant that was made before Noah and his sons. And I did a show where I went over a lot of this information, because through this understanding, I think this says a lot. If you can understand that Noah was perfect in his generation, it's not that he was a non-sinner, because he did drink a lot. But you're not going to really hear too much about that in this film. You're not going to even hear about how Ham slept with his father's wife. That is omitted, and that's all in chapter 9. Okay, you're not going to hear how Shem was the chosen one. The father wanted the cult lineage to go through, whereby allowing you to understand, and they knew what they were doing by omitting chapter 9. If you know that Shem is the called one by the father, okay, you can see that the other two sons, they were not Hebrews, so that would make them Gentiles. A lot of people will say, no, that's not true. I'm going to show you in a second where that's exactly true. Now, I can only, for tonight's show, because I've been doing a lot, but I can only show you for one of the sons for a fact. And as you look up these words and get the understanding, you will understand why they left Genesis chapter 9 out, where of Canaan being cursed because Ham slept with his father's wife. That's the word, it says that he uncovered his father's nakedness. Just means that he slept with his father's wife. So the curse went on to Canaan. Now, a bit further down, all of 9 out. All of 9 was left out, and he did 10. I just went up to 10 because that was the most significant part that was spoken of in this movie. They went to Nimrod and start talking about how the lineage was. But listen to what he said. The opening of this particular clip, they picked up with chapter 10, and they said, now these are the generations of the sons of Noah. They said Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. And they start going over these sons, like overlapping, okay? Not really giving too much understanding about those sons. You just have to read yourself to figure out the truth. But when you still, in your mind, have understanding that it was Shem that was a Hebrew, only Shem, that was the called lineage. Okay, and you keep going further down till you get to about verse. Everybody, if you would, please, go to Genesis chapter 10, and I'm going to pick up at verse 8. I'm only reading 8 and 9. That's what I want to get the understanding out of. When you go there, it says, and Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty hunter, a mighty one in the earth, and he was a mighty hunter before Yahuwah. Wherefore, it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter, before Yahuwah. Now, that might really seem very insignificant, and they knew about this, but it could be, you know, you read it and say, okay, well, you know, if you read it for what the Bible says, not looking up the words, you say, okay, well, he just was a, you know, he was a good hunter or whatever. Well, I'm going to refresh your memory on something that we have already learned. And if you can connect the two, you'll get it. When I kept saying that only Shem, the Bible says it in 9, that Shem was the one who the covenant went to and everything. Okay, so when I say covenant, it was passed, the called lineage was passed through Shem with one day. And Shem is listed in the genealogies of Adam as well all the way to Yahushua. It doesn't name Japheth, it doesn't name Ham. That's how you know that they were not of the cult lineage and they were not Hebrews. So when you look at chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, and it speaks of Cush begat Nimrod, okay, he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before Yahuwah. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod the mighty hunter before Yahuwah. I want you to take that, and I would like you to compare that to Genesis 6:4. You're going to hear a lot of the same tellings. Okay, if you compare it, you're going to hear in Genesis 6:4, it says, there were giants, and remember the word giants is a hybrid, that's all it is. Okay, you can call it a fallen one, you can call it a Nephilim. Okay, but all it is a hybrid. Okay, it's a blend of something from earthly realm, something from the celestial realm. But it was an abomination to the Father. Okay, what took place in Genesis 6. Okay, anyhow, it says, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of Yahuwah came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Now, we just read, if you go back, we were talking about a mighty hunter, a mighty one, okay? When you go look up that word mighty men, you're going to come to Hebrews 1368, and it's Gabor. I'm going to give you guys that link because that's taking out the Strong Concordance, and I want to make sure that you have it. So I'm going to give you guys the link, speaking of this mighty man. And you guys can verify and look it up yourselves, okay? It's important that you get the understanding. Okay, here's your link. Now, when you go to look this word up, it's going to tell you that, let me get my notes put down a little bit. Okay, it's going to tell you that mighty men, which is Gabor, and it's Hebrews 13:68, means strong man, mighty man. Then you go a little further down. For the Authorized Version KJV translation count, tells you it's mentioned in the Bible, that same meaning for that word is 158 times. When you look at the words, you'll find mighty man, strong man, giant. Okay? Now, you go a little further down in the genus lexicon help. It will tell you strong, mighty, impetuous, used of a hunter. In Genesis 10:9. Now, that's what we're reading out of right now. We're reading out of Genesis 10, verse 9, and it's speaking of Nimrod. What you should have got out of there is the words in there take you to the word giant. Remember, we go back to Genesis 6:4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of Yahuwah came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. Now, these children, the same children, became mighty men. That's what that word means, a giant, a strong man, used of a hunter. I hope you're getting it. Which were of old men of renown. So we know that this word mighty hunter, this mighty man, we're going to see the connection in 1 second if you still don't see it, family. We're talking about this mighty hunter, okay? That's the same word. It's the same word. So he became a mighty man, a Nephilim. That's what it's speaking of. The lineage of Ham right there with Nimrod. He became a mighty hunter. Okay? Go a little further down in the translations for the Strong Concordance. It tells you, if you go to the root etymology, it'll be Hebrews 13:96, which is Gabar. Gabar. It means to act proudly towards the Most High. Okay, and I want to just take you a couple more places. The word renown means, it's Hebrews 80:34, which is, it looks like it's Shem. That's what it looks like. It says S-H-E-M. But when you go and try to pronounce it, it'll be shame. So this word renown is shame. And what does it mean? It means name, reputation, fame, and glory. Okay, as a memorial, a monument. Now, we're going to compare that with Genesis 11. Okay, and I'm going to read to you verses, I'm going to read to you verse 1 through 4. We're going to see where that becomes important. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. and they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto the heavens, and let us make us a name. I hope you got it. Let us make us a name. Lest we be scattered or brought up on the face of the whole earth. The reason why I made the connection for you, remember, the word renown, this is what those children became. They became mighty men, men of old, men of renown. The word renown means shame. But if you go look it up, the meanings for that is name, reputation, fame, and glory. When you go to Genesis 11, verse 4, it lets us know that these same master builders, the same serpent seed was across the flood. In verse 4 of Genesis 11 reads, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower. The master builders were building right there, family, whose top may reach into the heaven. You know, they had pride towards the Most High. They were boastful. They were prideful, right? And let us make us a name. Let us be renowned, okay? And what's interesting is we're talking about Nimrod. Just so nobody gets confused, we are speaking of Nimrod, but we're also speaking of what was there before the flood and made it across the flood. Okay, so when you get to chapter 11, verse 4, it says, let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, I'm going to give you a precept for that. This is your understanding. Remember I told you that only Shem and Noah was in that call lineage. You can easily get that by going to the genealogies in Matthew and Luke and get the understanding. They were both in those genealogies. You won't see Ham, you won't see Japheth. Now, they're worried about, they want to get a name for themselves, but they say, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, who is worried about this happening to them? Well, it's all the nations that were out there. Here's the precept for that. Now, this is where I'm going to be reading out of Numbers 33. If you have it, open it up, family. We're reading out of Numbers 33. I'm going to read from verses 56 through 55. Excuse me, I got the hiccups. 55 and 56. Okay. The precept they're worried about being scattered abroad upon the whole face of the earth. Now, this is where the children of Israel were claiming their promised land. Of course, their promised land was infested with the hybrids, okay? The ones that were there before as well as after the flood. This is your precept of why they were worried about being scattered across the face of the earth. When you go down to Numbers 33 and you pick up at 55 and 56, it reads, but if, and this is the father telling the children of Israel, but if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass. This is what the Most High is going to do. That those which yet ye, well, let me read it again, make sure I get it right here, that those which ye let remain of them, these hybrids, shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. 56, moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. See, if you go back to the book of Joshua 1, it tells you that we did not get all those hybrids off the land. We started taking tributaries from them and commingling with them. Get to chapter 2, the angel comes to Bochim, and he talks to the children of Israel and tells them basically that them and their deities, their daddies, would be a thorn in their side, a snare for them, okay? And when you get down to the last part of chapter 2, the father gets in there instead of his angel. He's talking to the children of Israel direct. He's letting them know, because you have done this and you have not gotten these heathens, these hybrids off the land, I'm going to leave them right where they are. I'm not going to chase them away altogether, not quickly. He says, I'm going to leave them there because they're going to try you. They're going to try you and see if you will hearken to my word or their word, okay? Their word is the gospel, the other doctrine, the false gospel of movies like The Bible in the Beginning, where it tells you that Nimrod, and just leave it like that, it was a mighty hunter. They show you that he's flinging an arrow at the father, but the movie there, it says a lot of things, a lot of things that are wrong. What you need to know is that's how they were over the flood. They had to skip out Genesis chapter 9, not to go into detail, because if they went into detail, people would start getting it. Yes, Shem was the only Hebrew, and he was the call of the fathers, but Ham was not, whereby you already know both Japheth and Ham were called Gentiles. They're still considered Gentiles. But what you didn't know was how those hybrids made it across the flood. So when you get the understanding that because we didn't do according to the Father's word, keep his commandments, follow what he said that he is going to do unto us as he had thought to do unto them. Well, what did happen to us in the end, after the curses? We did not get them off the land, and we kept mingling with them. The Father scattered us out and made us a tail. They became the head, and they were not scattered out. They were worried right here, family, in Genesis 11, verse 4, these same hybrids were worried about being scattered abroad upon the whole face of the earth. I sure hope you got that. Okay, I sure hope you got that. Now, we're going to go a little bit further. When you read Genesis 11, verses 5 through 9, and I'm going to read a little bit here, and then I'm going to be breaking stuff down for you. Now, this is the stuff, basically, that they didn't speak too much of in the Bible in the beginning. They failed to leave this out, but I'm hoping you can see why they left it out. Okay, when you get to Genesis 11, verse 5, picking up at verse 5, it reads, "And Yahuwah came down to see the city," and I don't want to say Yahuwah because it was angels. The word Lord, many times we know that it can be used for angels, okay? It says, "And the Lord," this angel, "came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded." Okay, everybody should have been asking, which men built this? Go back to Genesis 6, verses 1 and 2. "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth," that's the same thing that's told to us at the beginning of Genesis, I think it's chapter, is it 10 or 11? Let me see. Genesis chapter, give me a second. I want to get it right. Yeah, when you get to Genesis chapter 10, which speaks about, "And Cush begot Nimrod, he began to be a mighty one in the earth." Okay, maybe it's a little further. There's something that talks about the men multiplying on the face of the earth. Okay, I'm going to have to get it. I don't have it right in front of me. I thought I did. But anyhow, just as long as you understand, I know what it was. I haven't gotten to it yet. Okay. Okay, we're getting to Genesis chapter 11. We're still talking about Nimrod. And these people who were all speaking basically the same language, okay, and you could better believe that the language probably, I would say, if it got scattered with different languages, it probably was Hebrew to start off with. I can only guess. I'm assuming that it was, only because we know that there were another creation before Adam and Eve. You have to speculate on that part. But it tells us in chapter 11, "So they said one to another, go to let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had bricks for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto the heavens. Let us make a name." I think I read this already. I did read it. I'm sorry, family. I had to go up to look for that one particular verse. Let's go back down. Verse 5 reads, And the angel came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. We ask ourselves, which men? Let's go back to Genesis 6, verses 1 and 2. And it tells us, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth," we go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, "the men that were told to multiply, the male and the female." So when it says that, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth," they were the only ones that were told to multiply, and here's how you get the rest of it. It says, "And daughters were born unto them. The sons of Yahuwah saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all they chose." Now, those men, because you remember, from that serpent seed coming out, which by way of Cain, he blended in and got him a wife from Genesis six-day creation. And he built the first city, but he was already out there with the other nations. So when we get to reading And it says, and this angel came down to see the city and the tower. We got to look back at those master builders. They were still out there, which the children of men builded. It's talking about the children of men. It's not talking about the children of Adam or the children of Seth. If they put the word men in there, you go look up the word men, it'll tell you man and mankind, but they won't put that in there. They will make you think it's just the same. We all come from one man, that like they've always taught us. So I just wanted to show that to you. So when we go a little bit further on in verse 6 of, let me show where I'm at here. Okay, verse 6 of Genesis 11 reads, and I'm going to pick up there. Just follow along with your Bible, family. It says, and Yahuwah said, behold, and I'm going to say Yahuwah because when they use the Lord, you just don't know. You got to keep reading, keep reading. It could be the Father said this one verse, or it could be the angels speaking on his behalf because the good angels were doing the will of the Father. Now, let's read. And it says, the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Now, here's why I say it's probably angels. Go to verse 7. It says, go to, let us go down. Let us go down. Remember, we're speaking of the angels right here. It says, and the Lord, the word Lord, you should understand that it can go to Balaam, Balaam, and those were deities. Those were angels, basically. So when you get the understanding that the word Balaam and Baal mean the word Lord, they're speaking of an angel. So in this particular verse of Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, and it says, and the Lord said, they're speaking of angel right there. Just like when we told you in Genesis chapter 1, that word God, look it up. Okay, I think it's Hebrews 4:30, I believe it is. So I'm going to tell it to you in a second. The point is, many people just assume that that is our Father doing that. No, many times he let the angels do things, family. We're just going to hit a couple points here. So in verse 7, it says, go to, let us go down and there confound their languages, that they may not understand one another's speech. So these were angels, family. Go to, let us go down, okay? So I'm going to read just for what it says. So the Lord scattered them abroad from hence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. So these master builders were scattered everywhere. Okay, these hybrids, okay, let's keep going. Verse 9 reads, therefore is the name of it called Babel, or Babel, okay? Because the Most High did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did Yahuwah scattered them abroad upon the face of the earth. Now, we know that these angels are only doing the will of the Most High. So I can insert the name Yahuwah there because they can't do nothing unless the Most High allows them to. Okay, and that's what we were talking about in Genesis, male and female being created. They were good for what they were told to be created for. So I really hope that kind of tied that in for you, but I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. So it tells us in verse 9, therefore the name of the place was called Babel because the Most High did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Most High scatter them abroad upon all the face of the earth. Okay, thus allowing you to know which man, which is man, people, hybrids, nations, Gentiles, who's that man? Because it says men, children of men, and, you know, it kind of leaves you with a lot of room to play around with a lot of different things. But really, if you follow along with the scripture and look at these words in a strong concordance, you will not be confused. Now, I'm going to give you a special note. In Genesis 1:26, the word God, okay, that word in Genesis 1:26, it says, and God said, let us make man. Same thing, family, as when you get to Genesis 11:7. Go to, let us go down and therefore confound the languages. Same thing. Many of the angels are doing the will of the Father. So when we look at that, who is being referred to by the use of this plural pronoun? Okay, God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. This is not the only occurrence in the Bible where the plural pronoun is used of the Most High. And I would like to say God, okay, because these gods, angels, divine ones, okay? And all you got to do is look it up, and it'll tell you that, okay? But it says this plural usage is found in three other places. One of the places that it's found to be is in Genesis 3:22. It says, God said, behold, the man has become one of us to know good and evil. Well, that word God is speaking of angels, okay? Even today, the Most High has his angels over the tribes. They are there to help us. They are messenger angels, watcher angels. I mean, interceding angels, warrior angels. He puts the ones to vex Israel. I mean, if you really look at what's being said in the Bible, and don't close your mind because I might be telling you something you never heard before. Go read it. It's all in the Bible. So that's just one case where in Genesis 3:22, God said, I'm reading the word God in there, the angel said, behold, the man has become one of us to know good and evil. Okay? Now, at the building of the Tower of Babel, God said, go to, let us go down. But we know that he's talking about angels there. The angel said, go to, let us go down, and there confound the languages, that they may not understand one another's speech. In Genesis 11:7, we just read that. The other spot that you should be aware of is in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. It reads, Isaiah heard, it says, the Lord say. Now, I'm going to leave that there. Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? Now, we know if you read it, and if you really read it, and try not to make excuses for what it says in the scriptures. It says, Isaiah heard, it says, the Lord say, the Lord there is an angel. So Isaiah heard the angel say, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Because it's a plural word for that word Lord, letting you know it's a divine one. It's an angel. Who shall go for us? The Most High ain't talking to him and himself. Okay? And if you look the words up, it'll clearly let you know it's talking about plural, more than one. Divine beings, angels. It'll go on with the list. Okay, so how do we explain these verses? The word God, if you look it up in a strong concordance, is 430. Hebrews 430, Elohim. Elohim. Okay, when you look the word up, it's going to tell you outline of biblical usage. That's a plural word. It could be ruler, judges, divine ones, angels, gods, which are just angels. Okay? Now, for the authorized versions in the King James Bible translated count, you're going to get like 2,606 times that that's going to be used in different contexts, but it's the same thing being spoken of. You're going to hear for the word God being used in that context, it's going to be 2,346 times. The word God used by itself, 244 times. As a judge, 5 times. As the word God, 1 time. As goddess, 2 times. As mighty, 2 times. As angels, 1 time, exceedingly. Okay, God word, and it goes with some other definitions. But if you go ahead and go to the root etymology of the word God, which is Hebrews 40:30, when you go to the root etymology, you'll get Hebrews 4:10, which is El. We know, everybody knows that, that El is usually at the end of their angel's name. Okay, but when we look at it, it'll tell us right there. It'll say a masculine noun, God, God-like one. God like one, mighty one, angels, mighty men. Okay, these are all the words, mighty heroes, God, false God, which is sin, demons and imaginations or fallen angels, God, the one true God. They put Jehovah, that lets you know his name was not Jehovah. It says mighty things in nature. That's a pretty good definition of the word El, but it's speaking of angels, family. So when you go a little bit further down and you hit the root etymology once more, you'll get Hebrews 352. Ayil, I think I'm pronouncing that right. Ayil, it's another masculine noun. It will tell you, it's going to tell you about ram. We're not looking at that. But when you go down a little further, number 3's definition of the outline of biblical usage, it'll tell you that word El, which came from the word God, okay, it came from the word El. Then it came from the word Ail. You look up the word, it will tell you number 3, leader, chief, strong man, mighty tree, mighty tree. That should bring you back somewhere else, family. When they talk about the mighty tree, note that Satan was that angel, also noted as the tree in the midst of the garden. That was an angel there. That was an angel. Okay, why don't they put this in the book? Well, actually in the movie, it's quite clear when you watch the movie, because you will see, and I tried to give the family members at the website an outline picture, and I tried to outline his face in red, showing you that the movie actually showed you a man up in the tree. He was a serpentine-looking man. He had a face. He was speaking to Eve. A serpent doesn't speak, family. You know that. But when the father put the curses on him and told him to get on his belly, it showed you this man with feet and hands falling up out of the tree and slithering, you know, in the garden. So, I mean, you need to do research on it and just get the understanding. Now, an example of angels being called gods would be 1 Samuel 28:13. If you read it, and the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. What she saw was these angels. That's what she saw. Now, we can go back to Genesis 3, verse 22 and 24. And it's important I tell you this, because a lot of people don't understand that they were in the earth in those days and also afterwards. They're still here. Many people have just said that they were all Hebrews. Noah had three Hebrew sons. It's a lie. You've learned to lie. Nimrod, he did not do what he did because he loved the Father. Okay, Nimrod did not do what he did, and he said he became, just like those children from the angels and the women, they became men of renown, men of old, mighty men, okay? So when we look at Genesis 3, verses 22 and 24, it says, and Yahuwah, behold, the man is become as one of us to know, it says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand to take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Well, we know if you go a little bit further down, it tells you, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Verse 24, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, these angels, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So we know that many times they put the word God, sometimes they put the word Lord, sometimes they put the word Lord God, and really, just like when they do men and man, or when they do clean and unclean, unless you're really looking at it and breaking down each verse, you're not going to know who they're speaking of. Because sometimes they say Lord God, they're talking about Yahuwah. Other times, I don't know. Other times when they say the word God, I don't think they're talking about the Father. You know, it's just a matter of us taking a look at that. But I want to bring that to your attention. Yahuwah often told us to, told the angels to carry out orders, okay? Often he did that. Now, we're going to pick up with Genesis 12. Go ahead and click over to Genesis 12. We were watching about Nimrod, okay? Now, the language was confounded, and they scattered the people all over the earth. We know that Abraham and his brother, it tells us when we get to Genesis 12, I'm going to read you what I'm picking up on, because I have a lot of material to go over, and I want to make sure I get through it all. So when you pick up with Genesis 12, it reads, now Yahuwah had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Okay? That was spoken in the movie, The Bible in the Beginning. Now, they omitted. They omitted important verses, family, and that would be 2 and 3, which reads, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. It just said, I think I'll make thy name great. But it didn't go into all this speaking of Abraham in such a fashion. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, this is due to the chosen seed, which was to come from Abraham's seed. Because he said, I will make of thee a great nation. We know that's the Hebrew nation, family. So they shied away from that particular verse in this movie clip. Now I'm going to take you to the next movie clip. We're going to be talking about Abraham, Lot, and a vision. And I think you're going to find this interesting. I mean, they come up with some stuff, family, and I don't even know. Sometime, I just want to say, let's just listen to it. We could talk about it because we reviewed so many of these scriptures. I think many of you already know them by heart. But it's just that you have to know the deception so that when your family members who maybe do not understand what we're speaking of, when we speak of the Father's Word and say that you have been taught a lie, you can go forth and show them this information. As far as any of people who are in a religious system who are trying to see if we're speaking any truth on here, well, I will give some verses, okay? I will give some verses so that you can go watch the movie and see if it aligns with Scripture. Okay, so this one we're getting ready to talk about Abraham and Lot, and I'm going to show you what they've done within that part of it, and also the vision. The vision is very important. Remember, they have to hide out the serpent seed, the hybrid. If you listen to anybody in the world today, they're telling you the Nephilim are coming back. Well, they're saying the hybrids are coming back. No, the hybrids ain't went nowhere. I keep telling everybody that. Go look it up in the Bible. It's all up and down in the Bible. But we're going to show you this today, family. So right now, I'm going to allow everybody to hear. This is a about a four-minute clip. Okay, this is talking about Abraham, Lot, and the vision. Okay, this was taken out of the movie, The Bible in the Beginning. It's just an excerpt. Here we go.
Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, I will go to the left.
There below us is all the plain of Jordan. And that way I will go. That way toward the cities of the plain.
The men of the cities are wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. From here the walls of Sodom and Gomorrah are white in the sun. But within the walls is the darkness of men.
The tribes and their kings are many who go about to claim their domination. And the walls of the city are refuge and a strength.
God is my refuge and strength.
The plain is well watered everywhere, fertile and rich with the fruits of the earth, even as the garden of the Lord. That is the way that I shall take.
And my way is another.
Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever.
Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Behold, to me thou hast given no seed.
I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered.
But Sarai, my wife, is barren, and she has no child.
I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee to inherit it.
Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?
Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Divide them in the midst, and lay each piece one against another. But the birds, they shall not be divided. Now have I made my covenant between me and thee, and out of thine own bowels thou shalt have an heir, and Isaac shall his name be called. Yet know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Its rulers shall afflict them. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be tried like metal in a furnace, as also I shall try thee. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir.
Okay, I think that was it. Okay, Sam, this is one that's kind of funny. Like I said, they kind of flipped everywhere on this particular part, speaking of the separation of Abraham and Lot. Now, when you go to look it up in the scriptures, you need to go ahead and jump over to chapter 13. That's where they're going to pick it up at. So when you pick it up at chapter 13, you're going to hear about the conversation between Abraham and Lot. Although they do jump ahead of the game into 14 a little bit, come back to 13. But did you happen to notice how Abraham said, God? And I'm going to say it exactly like he said it. Just listen. It's so demonic sounding. Am I the only one hearing this? I mean, you're going to hear more of it in a second, okay? But just pay attention how the show is done in a satanic twist to it, to where it seems like the children, this cult lineage, they just are rebellious throughout the whole show. And when you read the Bible, it says nothing of that. That's what's most important. But like I said, they picked George C. Scott to play Abraham. And I don't know if you've seen many other movies that he's been in. He's been in quite a few. One that was current that I know people might have seen is when they speak of Exorcist 3, and that is where George C. Scott plays the police detective. I don't know if you're aware of that one, but he did the same growling in that movie towards the end when Damien, the possessed Damien, was torturing him. Okay, so you hear the same type of voice, same type of frequency sounds coming out of his mouth in that clip as you will in the Bible. And for what they're making that clip of him growling, you would be amazed. We're going to cover it in a second. So if you pick up at Genesis 13, you're going to get the conversation between Abraham and Lot. Notice, just notice throughout the movie, not the movie, but when you look at the movie, and the clips I will be playing coming shortly here, notice how he speaks to the father and how he says the word God. It's no different than when you see Will Smith saying that he doesn't exist. You got to believe upon yourself, like in that movie Legend. You know, it's like they don't have to come out and scream and blaspheme and rawr his name out, but they'll do it other ways now. Okay, George C. Scott, they were in this movie in 1966. We're now in 2012, but they just downright come out and tell you there is no God. And we know when they say God, they're speaking of Yahuwah. So you're going to hear a lot of anger, it sounds like a demonic spirit has taken over the person who's supposed to be playing Abraham, because that's not what you read in our scriptures here. But anyhow, notice that they omitted chapter 14. They omitted it. Now, what was important in chapter 14, which they should have hit on a little bit? Well, let's look at it. In chapter 14, they spoke of the hybrids in the land. You know, it starts talking about Charles de Mar or whatever and these kings and all this stuff. They were all hybrids. Okay, the captivity of Lot and his household by these hybrids. They didn't talk about it, but they did give a little excerpt up in the movie. But like I said, they made them seem like all regular white men out there. They were all the same thing, just different sides you were fighting for. The word hybrids, I keep telling everybody, when you look at that word hybrids, we have always thought, okay, it says giants. So that means that it's something that's really tall and big and green and, you know, all this nonsense. But it was just letting you know that these were hybrids. They weren't formed from the dust of the ground. They weren't the fathers. That's all is basically telling you. It was a creation that was not supposed to be, but it is. And they were there before the flood as well as afterwards. So they didn't talk about the Melchizedek, the king of Salem, which is Jerusalem. They didn't talk about that. That was kind of important. I would have thought they would have put a – I mean, if it's a Bible movie, all they're showing you is a satanic twist of the serpent, whereby he's been put right in your face, taken over the holy people. And this time, 1966, yes, they had already taken over the holy people and made the name of Israel no more in remembrance, as Psalms 83 declares, and Jeremiah 17:4, as well as Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, that speaks of the curses. So when we see them coming about, and they're claiming to be us, and they don't bring in the beauty of what the Father did for our people, or the Melchizedek's, or the what a great battle that was because of the captivity of Lot and his household, and not even telling you that there were hybrids right in there in that land. They don't bring any of that up. It takes away from the beauty of what the Father was doing for his children, family. That's what I want you to get out of there. So in this particular clip, they went to 13, read just the very bottom half. They read that. They jumped straight over to, and you got to go over to Genesis chapter 15. That's where they picked up. Oh, let me see. I lost my screen here. Give me a second. But they picked up at 15. So when you go to 15, you're going to notice a lot of the stuff is read there. But here are the verses that this speaks of the vision. And this was very important. Okay, this was very important. But it speaks of the vision. And we've actually gone over this precept because it's named in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament about this vision that Abraham had when he was talking with the Father. Father told him to take the doves and separate. As a matter of fact, I'll just read a little bit of that before to you. I'm going to be about verse, let's see. Let me go, I'm going to pick up at verse 8. Okay. Let's see, make sure that's a good place to pick up. No, let me pick up at verse, I'll just read it. Okay, and I'll tell you what parts they omitted. Now, they just, you know, talked a little bit about it, but went straight over the important parts. Verse 15, verse 1. Chapter 15 of Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 reads, "After these things the word of the Most High came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Yahuwah, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." Excuse me, family. Oh, boy. "And behold, the word of Yahuwah came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." This is all important for some other parts we're getting into, family. Verse 5, "And he brought him forth from abroad, and said, Look now towards heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said to him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in Yahuwah, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Because Abraham believed him. Now this is important for what we're getting ready to listen to in a second here. "And he said unto him, I am Yahuwah that brought thee out of Ur, out of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Yahuwah, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" Okay? Now, in the clip, I believe they wanted to say how he's going to get children. But right here, Abraham's speaking of getting this land. And I don't know why they messed up on that. I don't know if you caught it. But when they had the film, Abraham was talking about getting that seed. How shall I know I will inherit a seed? They're talking about progeny. But in this, in the Bible, it reads, he is concerned about how shall he know that he will inherit this land, because he already knew it was in the land, family. So, like I said, they didn't talk about all of this in the right context. So, let's go over. Let me see. I want to make sure I have my notes correct. Okay, I want to go back. Let me just got all kind of links up. Woo. Okay, so I was at verse, if you go from verses 9 all the way to verse 12, it talks about him having to get the sacrifices, okay? And the Most High had him put all the carcasses in a special way. And it says Abraham drove them away. Now, when you pick back up, it talks about the sun going down, a deep sleep fell on Abraham, and lo, and a horror of great darkness fell upon him. They showed you the great darkness within the Bible in the beginning, but here's what they left out. Now, tell me if this shouldn't have been left out, family. They left out the majority of verse 13 and definitely 14 all the way to 21. It was all left out. I'm going to read to you what they left out. They did say, and he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. That's it. That's all they said. That is it. But if you keep going a little further, you hear about the 400-year prophecy and so forth. It reads, and he said unto Abraham, the Most High told Abraham, and they left this out the movie, know for surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Okay, talking about these hybrids, they left it out. And also that nation whom they shall serve. Go over to your curses in Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26 to get the understanding of who the nation are. Or better yet, we were scattered all over the earth. So speaking of all these other nations that partook of us being their bondsmen and they were putting subjugation against us. But it tells us right here, and also that nation whom they shall serve will the Father judge. And afterwards shall they come out of this with great substance. Now we know that the Jewish people claim to be us. Okay, maybe that's why they left it out. And they try to say that from the time of Egypt, when we came out taking the goods from the Egyptians, which we were going to serve our father with, but that was the time we came out of great goods. That wasn't nothing compared to what we're going to get, family. That wasn't nothing. But they have been pushing that lie on people. We weren't in that land for 400 years. Okay, that's one reason why you know it's not the truth, and that's not when it took place. He's talking about the prophecies towards the very end where it says that we will take captives whose captives we were. We will take captivity for those people who had us in captivity. We're going to take them in captivities. And then it talks about how they will be bringing their spoils to us, the first fruit they're going to have to give to us. Okay, bringing them up, all the goods of the land. Okay, the spoils of the land. Okay, so they left all this stuff out. And then in verse 15 it says, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. All this was left out. But in the fourth generation, this is prophecy yet to be fulfilled that is given to Abraham. They left it out. It says, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. We know the Amorites were another race of giants. They were hybrids. So they left that out because you got to be able to leave out the serpent seed, the hybrids. You got to leave them out. So they left out this as well. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. It says, in the same day, Yahuwah made a covenant with Abraham. They did say that. Saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, and from the river Euphrates unto the great river and the river Euphrates. Now, they didn't say that part. They didn't say all that part, but they said that the Most High made a covenant with Abraham. But they didn't go and tell you all the juicy parts that were in between, family. Then it goes even further by talking about this covenant that he made with Abraham, and he says, unto thy seed I have given this land. What land? Go and find out what land just simply by reading the next three verses. Well, who was in the land, our promised land? It says the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadamites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Raphaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Gershesites, and the Jebusites. These were all races of giants. A lot of these were already spoken of in the book of Numbers 13. You'll get the children of Anak that were there. Okay, so they left all that out, family. They omitted the most important verses. Now, you notice, like I showed you, I let you listen to it. You couldn't see it unless you watched the film. But they didn't show Genesis 6:4. They omitted that. All the way to Genesis 6:1-4. They omitted it. You're not going to hear about no race of giants. You're not going to hear about no Numbers 13. You're not going to hear that when they do show you a little clip of Abraham going out to get his brother Lot, but you're not going to know that those were hybrids. Just when we read, out of the book of Maccabees, it was the same land area, but you're not going to hear about no hybrids. when you get to Jericho, you're going to hear about the great walls, but you're not going to find out unless you really understand what land we're talking about, that the Father was talking about. They had to have those high walls because of those giants. Okay, those hybrids. All right, once again, you go figure why these verses were left out of this so-called biblical movie classic. We don't hear about no 400-year prophecy mentioned, no hybrids mentioned, and no future prophecy of the hybrids are mentioned, family, because they left it out. Why do you think they're trying to hide these people out? Why do they teach everybody that we all came from Adam and Eve? Why do they teach there was only one creation? There was not two, although the Bible says otherwise. Why? Why do that when you go into churches, they kind of like just dub over Genesis 3:15, and they tell you there was no sex in that garden. She ate an apple. Eve ate an apple. The sin that Cain did was that he killed his brother. No, it was more than that, family. But unless we go through and show you what they've put forward and how they've been able to dumb our people down to believe such nonsense, you're not going to get to the understanding that you need to get to, family. It's very important. Okay. I got another one for you guys to listen to. This is going to be about the angels and Abraham. This is only like a few seconds long, but I want to share something with you because everything that they put inside that film, whether they put extra in or they added to or they took away from what they're trying to say is the truth of the Father's word, is very telling. So what we're going to do real quick, family, I got another one for you. You're going to hear about the angel and Abraham. Now, I actually did a show about this already. It was called Children of the Flesh, Children of the Spirit. When I bought it out, many people had never heard this, so I know I was flipping people's minds inside and out. But it seems like the Father is making more people's eyes open to where they can get it now. So I'm going to play this little clip for you. This is called The Angel and Abraham. Okay, family? It's about 34 seconds long. I would like you to please take a good listen.
Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me. And if not, I will know.
Okay, that was taken from the scene where the angels are approaching Sarah and Abraham, Sarai and Abram, and they are letting them know that Sarah's going to conceive, is told that at a proper time that this will be done. And it does talk about a promise and so forth. If you go to, let's see where that's located. Give me a second to flip through my screen. That's in Genesis 18, okay? Genesis chapter 18, you're going to read about all that. So, in this particular clip, what I wanted you to hear was, what was it that they left out? What did they do? What they did was this, family. The angel tells Abraham, let's see, he says to Abraham, and you can read this in Genesis 18, verses 17 and 19. I'll go there and read it with you, then I'm going to give you the precept and understanding what should have been there. What he tells Abraham is, shall I hide from Abraham this thing which I do? Then he jumps into talking about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you're being taught that that's what the angel was speaking of, you're very much, you've been deceived. Because that's not at all what that angel was speaking of, that went out there and talked to Sarai and Abram about the birth of a son. That's what they went out to talk to them about. Then they were on their way to take care of a problem with Sodom and Gomorrah. But in this film, the angel says, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Then he starts talking about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's all they say. Now, we're going to read a little bit, and I'm going to take you somewhere. If you go to Genesis 18, verse 17 through 19, here's what's read in the Bible. It says, the angel, of course they put the word the Lord there again, but you know that these were angels. It says, the angel said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Most High and to do justice and judgment, that Yahuwah may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Now, that's the verse that they completely left out when they talked about, shall I tell Abraham that thing which I do? They start talking about the thing that they were going to do, but that's not what this is talking about. But this is what they put in the film. One talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. Prior verses let you know that he was speaking that Sarah, even though she's old, she don't have a child. Abraham had a vision, and the Most High was telling him about inheriting the land, and also speaking to him about you're gonna get a seed from your own bowels. We're gonna give you a progeny. Don't worry about that. So when the angels came, they were just confirming with Sarah and Abraham that yes, we know you're old, but if the Father says this is gonna happen, it's gonna happen. So let's go further and see. Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Precept, family, precept. Precept of the angel's comment should have gone here. If you understand Romans 9, verses 6 through 11. Now, you have to read all of Genesis 18 to get it all, but I'm giving you a quickie real quick because I want to move on. It says, not as though the word of Yahuwah have taken non-effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Not everybody you think, because you got a Hebrew man, even if you have a Hebrew woman, not necessarily, because see, it was already done. It was already done in the very beginning with Cain and Abel. Okay? Eve was the mother of both of those children, not Adam. Okay? Now, that was one case. But here we're getting ready to get into the father of many nations. So through his seed, there's a special set of people who are going to be the called people through Abraham's loins, out of his bowels that the Father is speaking of. So by the time you get to Romans 9, and it tells us in verse 6, they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, even though there's a Hebrew man as a father, okay? Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all called children. But in Isaac, the called lineage, where the Ruach was placed in Isaac, just like it was placed in Abraham, and it was placed in Adam, the Ruach. He was called. So it says, that is, they which are the children of the flesh. Let me go back. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham, just because they come out of his loins, are they all children. Just because they come out of his loins don't make them children of the Most High, is what they're saying here. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are children of the flesh, these are not children of Yahuwah, but the children of the promise. And that was the promise made to Sarai, that she would have the seed. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed, okay? For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. That's what happened in Genesis 18, family. And not only this, but when Rebecca also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac. It says, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of Yahuwah according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. So instead, these angels in this movie, they start speaking of Sodom and Gomorrah. How can you leave something as important as this out of a movie that's supposed to be biblical, whereby they're teaching the people through what the people see? Because they have started off this movie by going into Genesis, reading in the beginning, like they are really following along what the Father's Word says. You get it? Okay, I hope you're getting it. So, family, I put a lot of, the notes have a lot in it. I'm trying to bypass some of this. We're going to listen to the next one. We have about, let's see what time we have. Okay, we have about 35 minutes left, and I probably will just make it on the dot with some of this information. But I do welcome everyone. We are continuing with show 4, and hopefully I'm trying to get everything out tonight because I don't want to show 5. In the beginning, okay, we're talking about the Bible. This is a 1966 movie classic that's supposed to be biblical, but we're looking at it. We're seeing if that is really true. So far, it don't look to be true. I don't know about you, but my book says, don't say that. We're up at clip number 7. Now, this is going to be Abraham and Yahuwah, where he tells Abraham to take thy son, thy only son. Okay, now, this is Genesis 22, but it's going to be different. It's going to be different from what's in the Bible, and you're going to see that. So Genesis 22 is where this clip is going to be taken from. You can open your Bibles up, but I can tell you now you're not going to be able to follow along because they don't follow along. But this right here is clip number 7, and it is a 3-4-minute clip. Take a listen, family.
Here are the generations of my fathers named, to whom God gave life. It has fallen to me that the past shall not be forgotten. And after me, my son also shall remember it.
By what descent are ye come?
These are the generations of which I am made, of Noah, who by faith prepared an ark to the saving of this house. Noah begat Shem, and Shem Arphaxad, and after him was Selah, who begat Eber, and his son was Peleg, the father of Reu, who begat Serug, the father of Nahor, and Nahor begat Terah, whose son was Abraham, my father.
Here are the names written. Here shalt thy name be also, Isaac, son of Abraham, when thou takest my place.
Abraham. Abraham.
Night is filled with thy voice. Here am I. What dost thou demand of me?
Thy son. Thy only son. Take now thy son. Thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. And go into the mountains, for I shall show thee, and offer him there for a burnt offering.
Which thou, I do even as the Canaanites who lay their firstborn on fires before idols? Art thou truly the Lord my God?
Thou knowest.
No!
All right, family, I hope you heard that demonic growl and how disobedient that Abraham sounded in this clip. That was played by George C. Scott in the movie The Beginning, or the Bible, The Beginning, in the beginning. All right, now, let's just go there. Let's go there and look at it for what it is. We have about 30 minutes left, family. Okay, I hope you heard how Abraham tells Yahuwah no in this particular clip, and he also growls at him. And he says, God! I mean, just so hateful. It sounded like a demon was trying to burst his way out of this man. But that's what you heard. Now, let's go to Genesis 22 and read what it said here. Genesis 22. If you're at home, open up your Bibles to Genesis 22. You're getting ready to go over what you just heard in the movie. And let's see if this is the way Abraham reacted. At least it's not recorded. I wasn't there to say that he didn't do this, but I don't think he did, because the Most High was pleased with Abraham. Okay, let's go on. Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that Yahuwah did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. Now, if you look at the beginning of the clip, he had to call Abraham twice. Abraham's eyes was open. He heard it, but he was just looking around. And I exited out a lot of the time because for time's sake. But if you listen to it, it's probably about a minute or two before he answers the father. So he says in Genesis 22, verse 1, it reads that Abraham says, Behold, here I am. Verse 2, and he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Well, he had two sons. Go back to the promise that the angel says, Shall I tell Sarah, or shall I tell Abraham of this thing which I've done? Because he only had one son. Not all of these children are the children of the Most High. Not all Israel's of Israel. Yes, Abraham was a Hebrew, but it didn't mean that both of his children, regardless if he was a Hebrew male, that those children were Hebrews. Only the call seed. So he says, and he said, Take thy son, the Most High says, Take thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and give thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Let's listen to what it says next. Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which Yahuwah had told him. I don't hear no growling or any doubt of what Abraham is to do or any, no, I will not. Is this really God? Are you really God? Come on now, family. You know that's what he said. There was none of that mess in there, but that's what they put in the film. So he goes into this place afar off. Verse 5, And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Isaac said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, Yahuwah will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which Yahuwah had foretold them of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. No hesitation. And the angel of Yahuwah called unto him out of the heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And the angel said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest, okay, that thou fearest fear, seeing, I don't know why that's like that, but that's what I got in my book. So seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me. Okay. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place. They got Jehovah Jireh or something like that. I don't believe that name is right. It should be probably Yahweh. I don't even think it's Yahweh. I'm going to leave that word right where it is. As it is said to this day, in the mount of Yahuwah it shall be seen. And the angel of Yahuwah came unto Abraham out of the heavens the second time. The reason why I'm leaving that word alone for anybody who is new to the site, because we know that there was no J, is not a J in the Hebrew, Aramaic, Latin, or Greek. That is, the J is newly put into our alphabet, I would say, about 500 years. So where they get that J from our original text, you tell me. Okay, go on. So the angel came up to Abraham. This angel came of Yahuwah came to Abraham out of the heaven a second time and said, by myself have I sworn, said Yahuwah. And they do have angel, so it could be the angel. For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Well, see, we're talking about the enemies, the same ones who put the book, put the show together, and also put our English version of the Hebrew manuscripts together. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So, family, I'm going to allow you guys, you heard him at his crazy screaming and acting crazy with himself. Rah, 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 rah. You heard it. God! That's a demon trying to come out of that man. And I know that man got to be infested with demons. He got to be. Because, see, I mean, he do that in all his clips. He's an old actor, family, old actor. But that's who they got to play Abraham, George C. Scott. Now, go back and listen to that. I'm not going to play that again. Just listen to the archives. I'll get the movie on Netflix. I'll rent it. It's crazy. He even looked crazy. Okay. Now, we're going to go a little bit further, family. I want to show you guys a little something. This was also in the clip. I read ahead what took place. Now, you're going to see in this particular clip, this is, let me go a little further. Okay, you're going to hear about Abraham and Isaac going to the sacrifice. During this clip right here, it's basically, I think I'll just let you guys listen to that. I'm all over the place. Let me see where I left off last. Hold on a second, fam. I got my notes mixed up again. Okay. Yeah. We're at clip 8. Clip 8 is only a minute and 27 seconds, but what is said and what is shown means a lot. I'm going to play it. It's only a minute and 27 seconds long, then I'm going to explain it. This is Abraham taking his son to get sacrificed, okay? This is part of the clip that I've taken out of the Bible in the beginning. Now, I read to you, what was it, Genesis 22, and you're going to hear a whole different story when you listen to this. But this is the same time period that I just read from. So, like I said, this is a minute and 27 seconds long. I put some pictures showing a skull. Pay attention to those pictures that should be flashing at you pertaining to that skull. And I'll explain it in a second here, family. I'm going to go ahead and play this. Here we go.
Father, this was a city.
The city of Sodom. Lot sat here in this gate. And here came the two angels to him. He overthrew these cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the face of the ground.
All the inhabitants.
And lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. The Lord our God must be obeyed.
All the inhabitants of the cities, the children also. Were the children also wicked?
Okay, family. Now, it's very hard to get it out of just listening to this particular clip. But if you listen to what Abraham was talking about, it was a twist on this particular part where, you know how Oh, what movie was that? I go back and forth with these movies, but it's all in the movies. Anyhow, it's like when you watch the History Channel and they have the versions of the different scenes that took place in the Bible. They had what was called Bible battles that the History Channel did, where they showed you Samson and Delilah. They showed you the wars that took place between Joshua and where he slayed the giant, and they twisted everything around, and they made the Hebrew Israelites, and they made even the father look like we were just evil people. What they did was they showed the Hebrew Israelites killing these innocent little women and children, and this mean, burly-looking white guy came up with his sword and was slaying them. That's the same actual scene that you can find in the movie Conan and the Barbarian. Where I'm telling you, these scenes, they take them from different parts of the movie, but and in that scene in Conan and the Barbarian, the man who was Earl Ray Jones, I think is his name, Earl Jones or something, I don't know. Anyhow, I think he's a Hebrew, but he has those green eyes. But in that clip of Conan and the Barbarian, you'll see him doing the same thing they showed on the History Channel, where they're killing a woman, and the woman dies first, and then the child dies second. They behead her, and the child falls, and the child's holding her hand. The woman falls, and the child's looking at the mother fall. Well, that's basically what they showed you in the History Channel when they got to the killing of the hybrids. But in the movie Conan and the Barbarian, they show you that the barbarian was a reptile, the reptilian god. You have to go watch it. It's interesting. But in this particular show in the History Channel, they show you a woolly white man, and I mean very burly. These people look like they come straight out the cage. I'm serious. I'm not joking when I say these things. And then they come up, and you see these two little, you see a lady and her daughter, and they look really pathetic. You know, like, why are you killing us? And this evil Hebrew Israelite is starting to slay them. Now, they did not tell you those were hybrids in the movie. They made it seem like the father wanted to get rid of even children. What kind of father do you guys have? And these Hebrew Israelites supposed to be holy people? Because what they see is those den of vipers over there in our land, but they call it Israel, not the people, but they call it the land Israel. And they're like, well, they are practicing witchcraft, because everybody knows they deal with the Talmud and the Kabbalah. Everybody knows those are a den of vipers and serpents. They don't believe in Yahushua. So they think, well, yeah, this is possible. They were evil people even from the beginning, and their father is evil. But in all reality, family, that is not what the word says, and that is not the actual depiction of our people, nor the other people who the Most High told us to slay. So in this one particular scene, you hear a lot of talking about how the father got rid of Sodom and Gomorrah, but basically Abraham puts an evil twist on it to make him sound like he was just ridiculous and mad for blood. And even the way Abraham says the word God, it just, you know. So then they show you this one scene. This is what I want you to get. In the scene, you will see where Isaac sees on the ground some skulls of some children. So he asks his father, he says, even the little children, father? And when you look down, what the TV shows you is they point down at two skulls, and out of one skull you see a serpent merging from the head of the skull, and it slithers out. What they were trying to show you, if you understand symbolism, and if you understand what happened in the garden, and if you understand that serpent seed spoken about in Genesis 3:15 by our father Yahuwah, letting you know that this is future prophecy. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to put enmity between that serpent that beguiled Eve, and I'm going to put the enmity between the Hebrews and the serpent seed. Abraham was of the Hebrew lineage. Isaac was too. They showed you the seed of the serpent that was in Sodom and Gomorrah that was destroyed. But the way they put it, they're showing you that it was little children that were slain. And he destroyed all the people, even the little children. You see what I'm saying? It's so sick and perverted and twisted. Only those with eyes to see and understand our Father's word are going to get this. It's all up in the movies, family. And I hope I didn't confuse anybody by explaining what was in there. But that's what was in there. All it simply did was it showed you the serpent seed. by going through the head of the skull of the children who were, and keep, when children began to multiply on the face of the earth, the fallen angels got to them. Even the little children? Come on now. I hope you're getting what they're telling you right here. So I want to share that with everyone, and I pray I did not leave anybody in the dark, but that's what it was talking about. Even the little children. The children were hybrids, okay? Say it for what it is. If I would have made the movie, I would have said, okay, the serpent seed, the hybrids, yes, they were destroyed, Isaac. You know, I wouldn't even have that scene in there. Okay, I'm going to take you to another clip. Now, you remember how I told you how Abraham is very demonic and satanic sounding, like a demon just wants to bust out of his throat? Okay, Abraham is taking his son Isaac to be put for the sacrifice. In this short clip, you're going to hear Abraham growling, okay, on the trip. Now, listen to the satanic voice of the serpent seed. This is your serpent seed that was there before as well as after. Okay? You got to know what you're listening to. And this particular clip, which I believe is our last clip, it's only 3 minutes long. Take a listen, please.
Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Call the nobles to the kingdom! 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 None are here. All the princes are nothing! Nothing! Nothing!
Father!
All the princes are nothing!
The thorns have come up in the palace.
From generation to generation, it will lie. Waste. Ye shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion.
Confusion. Kingdom.
Oh, confusion. Oh,
no. Kingdom.
Nothing.
Confusion.
Had it not been told from the beginning, God is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, that stretcheth out the heaven as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent wherein to dwell, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the world will.
My son, the Lord God appeared unto me and said unto me, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Behold, my covenant is with thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful.
Let us leave these ruins and go from here into the mountains.
In all things, we must obey him.
Okay, family, you heard it now. That was... You heard the growling, you heard the echoing. Didn't it sound like a message of hate? Like if I said, Satanist, come on, I want you to read a line out of the Bible. And that demon inside that person was fighting to get those words out. And it made our Heavenly Father sound like just hateful and cruel and mean. That's what they portrayed in that movie. And along with the look of George C. Scott didn't help. The echoing effects. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Well, you know, a lot of people are not aware, but when you go into a lot of these demonic movies, one thing they will show you is when they're, even the people who do New Age, they're told to get into, come into themselves in the brain and go into nothingness. Because you see what they're saying is when you don't have the Father with you and there's nothing residing there, that's when those evil spirits can attack. When they showed you the scene from The Exorcist, one thing was said was, it said, let's see, who is that who dwells within you? We are no one. We are no one. It's always no one, nothing, nothingness, it's emptiness, because that is where they dwell. And that's what they always talk about. And he kept promoting that theme over and over in this one particular clip that I had. It said, nothing, 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 God. And I'm going to play just the first portion of that for you because we have about 9 minutes left, so we have a little chance for you to hear. Let me see. Let me just get it one more time just so that you guys can hear the growling and the craziness. Now, we know when I read that Genesis 22:2, you didn't hear none of that craziness. It said that he rose up, he took his son, and he was just going to follow out the what the Father said according to detail. Had nothing to do with this stuff right here. Even the angel that came down, he told Abraham, because that you love the Father more than you love your son, he was giving honor to Abraham. So let's listen to this, just the part where he echoes and talks so like satanic. Just take a listen, family.
Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Call the nobles to the kingdom, 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 kingdom. None are here. All the princes are nothing, 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 nothing.
Father!
All the princes are nothing, nothing, nothing. The thorns have come up in the palace. From generation to generation it will lie. Waste. He shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion.
Confusion, kingdom, kingdom.
Oh, Jesus! Oh, no, 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 no. He shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the world will shall take them away.
Okay, that's enough of that madness. Now, just so you understand, when you look up those words that deal with what those children became, you look up the men of renown, the mighty men, men of old, you're going to find, you keep going back in the root etymology of those words. When you look them up in the Hebrew, you're going to get word like nobleman. When you go look in, I think that's in Genesis 18, I believe, where Shaldamar, it talks about those kings, those princes and things like that. You can find those princes and things like dukes and stuff like that also in Esau's genealogy. Okay, because what he was talking about is they are like nothing. What you have is the serpent seed itself telling you and almost cursing the Father in this particular clip, because that's not in the Bible, but they've interjected themselves cursing our Father out in this clip. That's what they've done. When they talk about those noblemen, those princes, and the kings and all that, go back to the part where it deals with Chaldamar. Those kings, and you go back to Joshua too. When they were killing those kings off, the kings they're talking about were the hybrids. Okay? Those rulers, those judges, those mighty ones, the children, the offspring of those angels. That's what they were talking about. So you heard a fallen angel offspring, a fallen one, a hybrid, a giant, a Nephilim, all same word. You heard him speaking in a movie that was based supposed to be based on a biblical truth, but you heard the enemy make the film. And within this film, and you heard it, you heard how George C. Scott was speaking. He was actually cursing out our Father in that movie. You can hear the same type of language where he's supposed to be dealing with the Most High again in the movie The Exorcist number 3, where they have him planted on the wall. This demon has him planted on the wall, and he's talking about, I believe God, and all this. He does the same thing in that movie, family. And you got to just look at it and know what it is. Know who these actors are. They play in a lot of satanic roles, and they always, just like the History Channel and many of the news broadcastings that you get, anything that gives information about our truths, they put people who are Satanists, they put people who have no belief, they put people who are New Agers to tell us the truth about our Father. And you're not going to get the truth. What you're getting is, the Father said, I'm leaving those nations right here to see if you will, they're going to try us, to see if you will hearken to my word, which is the word, the Bible, the truth, allowing the Ruach to speak, even though they've hidden things and they've done so much damage to the truth. Or you're going to listen to that man, any man, who is not of the Father's. Remember, all Israel's not of Israel as well. So I wanted to share that with you. That's going to wrap up. I'm not going to have any more shows on it, but that basically went through the movie, The Bible, in the beginning. So I hope I presented this in a way that opened your eyes, allowed you to see things within that movie. Go rent it out and take a look. I'm probably going to do my own little version. I'm probably going to have to put it on DVD, but, you know, something's got to be said. Now, I hadn't planned on taking callers, but I will take a quick caller because I see someone's hands up. So I'm going to take a quick caller, but I'm going to move on. Skype caller 111, shalom.
Hey, shalom, Georgia. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Who am I speaking to?
This is Kingdom. Yeah.
Shalom.
Shalom. It's been a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes. You know, excellent show. I haven't really had time to catch up with you, but tonight I finally caught up with you. I am not surprised at all, you know, what you were saying concerning the movie, because in a way it's, you know, it's the demon behind it. It's also, you know, the transmission, because, you know, there were a time, you know, not only that, I know that I believed in that. I was totally blind. So when I saw the movie, whatever they were showing was the truth to me, you know, a long, long, long time ago, right? So, you know, it's a signal, it's a transmission, it's the brainwashing and whatever that's behind that echoing, you know, because you hear those also those echoing and those devilish music they make as well, you know. Yeah. And, you know, when people are possessed. So it's, you know, now that you are awakening, so it's really no shock. I mean, I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised by that at all, you see?
Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah. and also that... you talk about the reptilian. You know, most of us has, you know, the, you know, that trace of the blood in us due to, you know, what went on, all the craziness and madness and going on today. But also that what we need to remember is that, you know, the 144,000 that the Lord has the, you know, his mark on them. You know, these 144,000, you know, they're coming out of everywhere on this planet. These are the people that's going to be part of, you know, the new earth, you know, the thousand years of ruling of the sun when he come back. But also what I want to mention is that when these people take the seal of the Father, you know, whatever that's in them, you know, their DNA, whatever, you know, the Father will repair all that. You see, this is why some people are fully awakening at a rapid speed, and they're, you know, they're like, they want more and more and more knowledge, because, you know, your program for someone that not only if they are stuck in their ways, and they have not been awakening at all, they're going to think you're nuts, or they're going to think we are nuts, you know, in the chat room, you see?
Mm-hmm.
But for someone that is awakening, and that's seeking more and more and more knowledge and more deeper truth. This is nothing, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So, and also after Sarah died, because when I tell some people this, you know, they look at me like I'm crazy. You know, he was remarried to Keturah,
mm-hmm.
and he had 6 children with her. So nobody never talk about these children.
Oh, we're going to get into it in shows to come, trust me.
Yeah, yeah. All together, he, you know, Abraham altogether, he had 8 children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the book of Genesis, so no one never talks about that. But I wanted to bring that to your attention as well. So so
that's
this
a good
is
point.
Yeah,
that's a really good point, because I'm going to tell you, a lot is hiding out in those that they don't talk about, because we know that the Father's Word does. I just read today out of Genesis 15, the first name on the list was the Kenites. We're going to be going into the Kenites whereby we can give some understanding to what has happened, even within our people, and where these people were located and who they were sojourning amongst. A lot of people don't understand that the word Kenite means son of Cain as well. That's what that word means. But we're going to go into that more. Not right now. We're doing our research on it, and the Father's going to reveal to us. So.
Yeah, yeah. So once we know that we are builders, so, you know, from day one, they always try to tear down, you know, the builders, and not everyone are builders. You know, this is why God tells us, you know, the Father, tells us that we must know the Spirit, because not because someone is dark-skinned, man, they are the chosen one, because a white person with the white skin can be chosen, you know, and we'll talk about that another day, because, you know, there is so much, because I've been doing my own study on my own and, you know, on a daily basis, you see. So
there's a lot happened with the Father's seed that when the mingling took place, but still in all, it will still fall for the people who have to be underneath the conditions, but some of them look other ways too. Some of them do. You know, some of the Hebrews, they're not all dark skin. Everybody thinks just because you're dark, you're definitely a Hebrew Israelite. It has nothing to do with that. The Father has placed that Ruach in the cult lineage. It could be one of the, you have 3 kids, you have 3 dark and 1 light. It could be the light one, you know, but it's from a particular lineage. That's what's important, and the Father puts that Ruach there. But I would hesitate if you're going out of speaking of another nation, because I don't believe that's what took place, not what I'm reading. So, I mean, we will talk about that, though.
Yes, yeah, so. This is what I wanted to say. And I'm not talking about other nation. I'm talking about just, you know, the Spirit in general, period, because, you know, if the same Spirit that is in you, the Father has to you, isn't someone else, the Spirit will recognize one another. You will know. You will know who's
definitely.
Who. Mm-hmm. Right, right. You don't always have to speak and say, hey, I know who you are. I know you no good. I know who, you know, we don't always speak. But inside, we know, because, you know, the Father has allowed us, God has allowed us to see through that person and let us know, hey, don't trust them, because, you know, they're not one of us, so you cannot trust them, because, you know, that Spirit can't be us, you see? So, so this is what I wanted to bring out tonight, okay?
Well, I appreciate you calling in and sharing with us. Thank you. I'm sure the family members enjoy that as well. I'm not going to take, when I do my shows, I'm not going to be taking callers. I don't know if you're hearing that noise. I'm hearing like big noise, but I'm not going to be taking callers after the regular shows. I'm going to leave it open for our Hebrew history book, question and answer time, because I want to make sure that we're getting people to come out to that show that we set apart. We put it Kodesh just for our family members and those who want to sojourn with us to ask questions, give a testimony, praise the Father. But I do appreciate that you called in to share with us, sister. I really do appreciate that.
Yeah, that's no problem. It was great talking to you, and so much things to say. I don't think you can fit everything in a million years, because, you know, knowledge is never, it's endless, right, you see? So, so the 2 hours, you know, that's really not enough, even if you put 1,000 hours a week, you know, if it exists, it's still not going to be enough time.
Yeah, I've tried to cut back on my hours because right now I have my daughter standing. She came in from New Orleans, and she's like, Mom, you said you were only doing one show this week. I said, you're right. So I'm trying to really cut down on my hours and also give a little time to my children and, you know, and still keeping the Father's Word, bringing out the material on the website as well as all the material that I, the Father gives me to bring out on the shows. And like I said, my show notes usually they comprise it a little bit more because some of the stuff, vocals, and I don't have time to read it all, but, you know, it's there. And if people want to go and do further research, I leave it up to them, you know. It's all on the site, you know, with film, video, and stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff extra I got in this particular show notes. But we're going to go into some more information of the monsters in the Bible. That's very important. People think that that's a sci-fi. Nope. That is word, and the word speaks of things coming up on this earth. People better, and recently, I'm just going to throw it out there because someone has already posted out, there's been several sites that have done shows on it. I'm saving this particular clip for when I do the show about the zombies. Now, I know everybody's aware that there was a man who, two men actually, one was eating the face off another man. He was naked. The media told us that there was actual some kind of drug that they had taken that makes them burn inside their body, and they take off their clothes, but it left them crazy. And what was interesting is the man, I don't know, they talked about it on the news. I have the news clip. I already downloaded it, where they talk about he was eating the eyeballs and I think the nose off this man. And when the police approached him and told him to halt and stop, he turned around and growled, but continued eating the man's, you know, flesh and his, drinking his blood. So, you know, the things that are coming upon this earth, we're witnessing them. They have been talked to. There's nothing new under the sun. You can't say nothing is new, what you're seeing here. So I'm going to go in and continue teaching the Monsters in the Bible series along with everything else. But that is something I'm bringing forward at a little later date. But
And know that, you know, you are in my prayers, and you're a very strong person, and you look fabulous. I mean, you look like you're like 10 years younger. You know, you're really looking better, much younger every day. So that's, you know, that's the spirit of the Lord, you know, making you look very young. And we have to pray. We have to pray over everything we drink, we eat.
Everything. You are so right about that. You know, always pray to the Father day and night over. He says to stay continually in prayer. And no wonder. I mean, no wonder.
Yeah.
When this stuff is being revealed to you, you see how wicked the times we live in. I understand what the Father's saying. You know, I really understand what the Father's saying. I remember back when I was in Christianity, they used to say, Christians act like there's a demon behind every bush. Well, now we know there really is. There really is. Everything that we have thought to be true, you know, when you take the, what is it, the red pill, you get the truth of it. You see reality for what it is. And it isn't like the world has been telling us. So,
no.
And this is according to our Father's word. So, yes, there is. But we're going to keep bringing out this truth. And basically, I'm hoping that what people get out of it is, especially those who are our family members who are stuck in some type of religious institute, they can see that there is truth in the Father's word. Although this stuff sounds sci-fi, it is the truth. So don't be deceived by those who are teaching you if the Father didn't ordain them to teach you. And they are the ones here left to try you and to see if you're going to really hearken to what is written in the book or what someone is saying. Precept upon precept, line upon line, and keeping it all in context with what the word actually is speaking of. So we're gonna hit all these points up. I'm going to put you up. There's another person raised their hand. I wasn't taking any calls today, but I am going to. But I do have my daughter waiting for me. So I thank you, sister, so much again for calling and join us for our next show.
Yes, that's okay. Now, I'm going to try to catch up with you because, you know, I do have a busy schedule, but, you know that I'm, you know, praying for you and you know, you're going to be okay. You're okay. You're all right.
Well, I thank you, sister. I really thank you. And I keep all our family members in my prayers daily. So, hey, let's keep one of us in each other's prayers because we really need it around this time of the end of the world. I tell you, when I say the end of the world, we know it began when Yahushua took the Ruach. He said on the, you know, I don't want to say because people say, oh, she said the end of the world, but you know what I'm saying. That was the beginning.
No, I know. Oh, no.
So,
no, it is. No, it is. It is. I mean, you know, you're not here to speak to please anyone. You're here to speak according to what you were sent here to do. This
exactly.
is what it is. Okay?
Exactly.
And you know, because this is what makes you know that you are truly sent, because, you know, when the Messiah, when he came here, when the Master was here, when he was speaking, he was not speaking like anyone else. This is why he was different. He was unique. So whatever comes from God, it is unique. You know, it's man things that are repetitious, same thing over and over and over. And this is why religion is no longer working for certain people. When
yes.
your eyes are open and you are no longer sleeping and you are awakening, you feel stuck. It's not doing anything for you anymore because man's ways are boring. It's man ways are like, how do you call this? When you're on a schedule, it's a routine. It's the same thing over and over. You become like a robot.
Yes.
You know? You see?
Well,
yeah.
I always go back to the one verse that speaks of, you know, a lot of the people are starting to see where, you know, they've learned lies from their fathers, where there is vanity and there's no profit. Because you can, if you read a specific part of the Bible that tells you that you have, that there's wolves in sheep clothing and people are going to be bringing a different gospel to you, and, you know, don't be deceived over and over and over again in the New Testament, you got to wonder, well, shoot, you know, I know that when they do this one part, I don't think they're supposed to be doing this, but, you know, maybe that's just one part. Then you get another part, maybe another 5 years. Well, I don't think that's what it's talking about, because you've read your own Bible. It's where your eyes are opening. You start to question, am I being deceived? Well, now our people are starting to wake up. Unfortunately, some of them are going into a lot of other religions instead of understanding that the Father's word is not a religion. It's a way of life. So hopefully people are going to start hearkening to our Father's word, not my word, but the Father's word. And I try to bring out his word with the scriptures, because I don't want anybody saying, oh, Georgia said, no, I'm just showing you what it says. I'm showing you a precept. I'm explaining to you if you don't get it. That's it. Everybody has to deal with the Father. You know, talk to the Father yourself. You're not dealing with me. You're dealing with the Father. Any site that you want to get information, regardless if you take all the information or not, you still got to deal with the Father to get the truth. So what is it you want to believe? You like to believe the ways, and when I say man, I'm talking it could be a man or a woman, but you like the ways of man, the traditions and everything, or do you want to know what the Father really says about that? So it's coming down to the end where people are going to have to really start making decisions according to the Scripture. If they say they really love our Father, regardless if it's not their father, regardless if it doesn't put them in the garden like they would like to be or the New Jerusalem, but if they truly love the Father, then they have to make decisions. Those who are sitting in churches accepting the lie, living the lie, celebrating the holidays, they have a decision to make too. You know?
Yeah, the same thing over.
I can tell you, it's a positive life change. So
I'm telling you, you know, but try. Just, I know some people have struggling with the religion period, but they don't understand that the new kingdom, religion is not going to exist. It does not exist. It is not of God. It is not of the Most High. It is not of Him, period. All these different religions, it's confusion, and He's not a God of confusion. If people
That's
can
right.
only get it, you know, it's so simple, but people... They want to be in their ways. They want to be stuck in their own ways. So anyway.
Exactly. You just made a comment. You said the Father doesn't bring confusion. Well, why is there within Christianity, which off branches, it's like you got your Protestants. They still believe it in the Bible, but it's a different version of Christianity. You got your Seventh-day Adventists. You got your evangelicals. You got your, I mean, you could go on and on. There's many
2000.
That's confusion when they're all teaching some part that's different. There's a lot of confusion there. That tells you the Father ain't there. He ain't bringing no confusion.
He's not
bringing confusion. You should read the Word. That's what it tells you. And that's what we do. Whether they want to call us a cult or not, that's up to them. Because like I tell everybody, when the time comes, you could call us a cult all you want to. You could say that we're racist. You could say whatever because you don't like what we're reading out of the Scriptures. You could do all that, but when the time comes, only you got to tell a Father what was your reasoning for not hearkening to his word. I laid it out. I told you when he revealed to me, I showed you it was in the Word. Because when he revealed to me, the only thing I asked is that please give me the verses. And he has never let me down on those verses. As a matter of fact, a lot of the verses, the newer things that I had today, he gave them to me probably about 3 hours before the show. So, you know, it's everybody got to deal with the truth of the Father's Word. They don't have to like what I say, but if it's in the Word, they got to at least look at it and talk to the Father and ask him, please reveal to me because I don't get it.
Yeah, and the same people that criticizing that are speaking the truth, they're going to end up falling in that same thing they're criticizing. You know, they're criticizing sci-fi, science, you know, aliens. This is part of, you know, we believe in aliens, whatever. But, you know, we're not the only planet anyway. We're not going to talk about that. But the very same thing they're criticizing, they're going to be falling for it anyway because when that, you know, Antichrist come, you know, he's going to look exactly like the savior of the Catholic Church.
You're talking about Jesus Christ? Yeah, I believe that if there is somebody who's going to deceive the people, that would be the person. But
it's
going to
be him.
Christ too.
Yeah. I will tell you his name another time because he does have a name, and I've seen him. Yeah.
Okay.
and he's going to come, and he's going to come, and like the Word says, many going to be deceived, and for a long time, I couldn't understand why, but when God revealed it to me, I'll email you the explanation. I'm not going to take up more time, but I will, you know, email you what God had shown to me, and then you can look it up into it and talk about it on the show. But God has clearly shown me why many will be deceived.
Yeah.
Many will be deceived. He's going to come as you know him on the picture of the Last Supper, the way he looks in all the movies. That's the way he's going to come.
Yeah, I believe that if there was one particular person, that's exactly what it would look like to deceive the whole world, because a lot of people do believe in a part of him, but not everybody. So there's questions on that, too.
Yeah,
but it could
be
in the image of that man. That's the part that I see.
Definitely.
Anyhow,
God bless you.
I thank you once again, and I thank all the family members. Shalom, sister.
Shalom,
I thank
shalom.
All the family members who came out to join us today. Family, keep in the Father's Word. If there is something that is in the Word that I have spoken today that you do not understand, bring it over when we do our Hebrew history book question and answer time. Feel free to bring it up then. Go back through our archives. Go ahead and do some research and bring some scriptures to me, okay? Because I want to make sure that when we provide and we go through all these shows that, you know, have the scriptures, that you're not overlooking something. Okay? Make sure that you come at least with some scripture and you've tried to at least research it, okay, in the Word. Okay? Pray upon it. Okay? That's what we should be doing. Everybody, if you sin, repent, hearken back to the Father. Come out from among her, the Father's people. Okay? If you're sojourning with us, you need to be doing the same thing, keeping yourself according to the laws, the commandments of our Father. Okay. So I'm going to just leave it like that. I thank everybody, and I pray everybody has a blessed weekend and work week. Shalom.